I'm going to read the first 11 verses as a lesson. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, with any mistakes that I might have made, that was reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And as always, I pray that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. My subject title for today is Let the Church Roll On. Let the Church Roll On. Now, yesterday I spent most of the day in my study, seeking the will of God for today. And part of the time I was working on a wedding ceremony. Got a wedding coming up in March, and so I was preparing a ceremony for that wedding. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, you need to put this aside for now and study for tomorrow. And so I put that aside, and I bowed and asked the Lord to help me. And I said, Lord, what should I preach on? What is your will for the service tomorrow? And so the Lord spoke to me, and he gave me this title for this message, Let the Church Roll On. And I began to think about, you know, scriptures that would apply to that thought. And my mind went to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. The Lord Jesus and his disciples had come to Caesarea Philippi. And there was a lot of controversy about who the Lord Jesus was. And he asked the disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter answered and said, well, some say that thou art Jeremiah, some say Isaiah, some one of the prophets. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and he said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now I want you to pay special attention to this next verse because I think it connects up with my subject title. And the Lord Jesus said, And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so the church of the Lord Jesus, it was already in existence. It had already been established. Jesus took the material that John the Baptist had prepared for the coming of the Lord. And he established his church. He not only established his church, he ordained a ministry for his church. He took the disciples upon the mountain, and the Bible said that he ordained them, and he sent them forth to preach. So his church was already in existence at the time that he said, I will build my church. So that statement there means that I will continue to build up my church. And the church has been growing ever since that time. And it is in the world today. And the statement that Jesus made, I think implies, you know, that the church needs to roll on, that it needs to keep going. And again, I want to emphasize this statement. Jesus said, and upon this rock. Now, I believe that what Jesus meant was, Peter, you know me. You know me by revelation. You don't know me by education or by instruction, but you know me by revelation. And I know you. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And I believe that being born again is the first step that a person has to take before they can ever be a member of the Lord's church. You know, it is by revelation. It is through the new birth experience that we come to know God and that He comes to know us in the free pardon of sin. And so Jesus told Nicodemus that was an imperative. He said to Nicodemus, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so that spiritual birth is a divine necessity, and in that experience of the individual comes to know the Lord Jesus in a personal way, and the Lord Jesus knows him as his child, his forgiven son, and one who is an heir of him. So having tried to explain that, and I hope you get the picture, the church, let the church roll on. The church needs to move forward. The church needs to make progress. The church is very, very important. Now I know that there, we're living in a time when it seems like people are picking and choosing, you know, what's important and what is not important. And it seems like that the church is being diminished. And people seem to think, you know, that the church is not really all that important. But I'm going to say that the church of the Lord Jesus is a very important thing. Because the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And the church is the one that is authorized to carry the gospel into all the world. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And so that makes the church essential in my point of view. And so I want us to think about this today. As I was thinking and studying yesterday, I thought about a song that Joel Hemphill wrote several years ago. And the title of the song was, I'm in This Church. And I want you to think about this morning as you sit in the pews of this building. If you have been born again by the Spirit and the power of God, do you know that you are a part of this church that the Lord Jesus established? Now, and I'm not talking about now the local church. I'm talking about the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. And that's what the Bible in Hebrews chapter 10 or chapter 11, that's what it says. You know, that you're not come to Mount Zion in old Jerusalem, you know. But you have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly city, and to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. Now, you don't have to be a member of a local assembly in order to go to heaven. But you have to be born again. You have to be born of the Holy Spirit. You have to know the Lord by revelation from Almighty God to go to heaven. And I want you to think about this. Being in that number of people, I wonder how large it's going to be, don't you? As we think about the church and those that have been born again. And as I said, I'm not talking now about the local assembly. I believe in the local church. I really do. I believe that we're all commanded as children of God, after we're saved, to be baptized and to become a part of the local assembly that is entrusted and authorized to carry on the work of the Lord in this world. But you know, the Bible talks about an innumerable company that no man could number, out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people that are going to be assembled one day after a while. And it talks about how that they were clothed in white garments, and they had palms in their hands, and they were giving praise and thanksgiving to the Lord that had redeemed them from their sins. Now, folks, if you've been born again, you're going to be in that number someday when the saints go marching in. You know, that number should continue to grow, and I believe it will continue to grow until Jesus steps down from His intercessory throne steps aboard the clouds of glory and comes back to gather together His children. All the redeemed of all the ages, those who were saved before even Jesus came into this world, they're going to be in that number. But anyway, back to the song just for a moment. Joel Hemphill wrote, I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join. No, I was born. I had a new birth. And he said, some glorious day, he said, I'm going to sail away. And he said, not by my works, but by His grace, I'm in this church. And you know, I'm so glad and thankful to be a part of the Lord's church. I'm so glad and thankful that I have an experience of having been born again. You know, I was sitting in Beaver Creek Baptist Church. I was a 10-year-old boy. And Brother Chris Ellis was preaching, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God let me know that I was a sinner, that I was lost, separated from God, and I was going to hell. I mean, there wasn't some person that told me that. That was the Spirit of God that let me know that I needed to get right with God, that I couldn't go to heaven without being saved. And so that was the first time in my life I ever felt the conviction of sin. Yeah, I believe if you have been saved, you know about the conviction of sin. You know about a God letting you know that you're not right with Him and you need to be saved. And so I began to seek the Lord. I didn't get saved that year. The next year in the revival, I did get saved. And then I was baptized the next week into the local congregation of baptized believers at Beaver Creek. And I've been a member of the Lord's church ever since. And I have moved my membership from one local congregation to another as I have moved from place to place in the service of the Lord. But I am so thankful to be a part of the Lord's church. Now, the verse of that song, it says this: when Jesus came, I want you to think about this. When Jesus came, He came from heaven and He came to earth. And the song, in the song, He said, when Jesus came, He was left out. There was no place where He was welcome here on earth. Do you know that the Bible says that He was despised and rejected of men? He was hated without a cause. They found fault with everything Jesus did, you know. And He said there was no place where He was welcome here on this earth. But He had a plan. Jesus had a plan when He came from earth to heaven to earth. And that plan was to build a house that shall forever stand. And He spoke these words: upon this rock I'll build my church. I'm glad that Jesus came. I'm glad that He was faithful even unto death. I'm glad that, oh, He was despised and rejected by men. He loved us all. And He loved us with a love that is beyond description. I don't have the ability. I don't have the vocabulary. I don't have the education, perhaps, whatever it would take. But I don't have the words to fully explain the love of God. The songwriter said, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It says it goes beyond the highest mountain and reaches to the lowest hill. God's love is beyond all measure. It's too high, too wide, too low. You just cannot explain it or understand it. But anyway, I'm glad I'm in this church. That's what the point I wanted to emphasize. Are you glad today that you're in this church? Are you glad that you're among the number when the saints go marching in? And there's nothing, if you've been born from above, born by the Spirit, there is nothing that can ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's how great the love of God is. There's nothing, the Bible says, that shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God. Death can't do it. You know, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to have to go over there and look at that because I can't get it all started just like I want to. But this is what he said. He said, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that justified." He said, "It is Christ that died, and rather that is risen again." You know, the death of Jesus was really important, but the resurrection of Jesus was more important. He died for our sins, and he rose for our justification. See, we don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen Savior. And he's in the world today. And I know that he's living. Whatever men may see, I see his hand before me, and I hear his voice of cheer. And every time I need him, he's always near. And he got on and he said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword or peril?" He said, "Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us." And so that's a little description of the love of God. Isaiah the prophet said in the 28th chapter of Isaiah, and I think it's the 16th verse, maybe the 18th verse, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation, and whosoever believeth in him shall not make haste." In the book of Romans, chapter 10, it says, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be confounded." And in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "Whosoever believeth in him shall not..." Well, I'll just look at that. 1 Peter chapter 2. "Whosoever believeth in him..." I'll read it in just a minute as soon as I find it. "Behold, also it is contained in the Scriptures." That's having reference to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 18. "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." You know, the Lord Jesus is the rock. He's the rock. He is the precious rock. He is the precious cornerstone, the tried rock. He was put to the test, and he was faithful. And so he is the sure foundation. And Paul said, "No other foundation can any man lay but that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." And so I wanted you to just think about that. You know, now the lesson I read, Peter, he was an elder. He was ordained. He was ordained by the Lord Jesus himself. And he was... a witness to all of this that took place that I've mentioned here about him coming and dying on the cross and rising from the dead. And Peter saw him after he had risen from the dead, and he was watching when he ascended into heaven. And he was an eyewitness of the sufferings of Christ, everything that he went through. And he said, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. You know, I don't even know how to begin to describe the glory that shall be revealed. When Jesus comes again, and the dead of all the ages are going to come out of the graves. The Bible said that the day is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Dead bodies are going to be raised. Saints are going to be glorified. And we're going to rise to meet Jesus in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we're going to experience a glorious event. I tell you, going to be a wonderful thing. So, Peter was writing to other preachers, other pastors, other shepherds. Jesus is the great shepherd. Those who are pastors of local congregations are under shepherds. We have the oversight, not the ownership. We have the oversight of local congregations of baptized believers. And so Peter says, now you feed the flock. You're a shepherd. You feed the flock, the sheep. And he says, take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, then shall you receive a crown of glory that shall not fade away. I tell you, there shall be glory after a while, as the song says. There shall be glory. So he goes on down, and I'm getting ready to close. But he goes on down, and he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, he said. Take this thing seriously. The work of the church is a very serious matter. And I say, let the church roll on. Let's do everything we can to build it up, to strengthen it, and to spread the gospel, everything we can to reach lost souls, everything that we can to promote strength and unity and brotherly love and Christian affection, everything that's in our power to move the church on. Let the church roll on. And he said, be sober. Be vigilant, that's be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But he said, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist him in the faith. Stand solidly upon the word of God, as Brother Mike taught in Sunday school this morning. And he said, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in you and your brethren that are in the world. You know, with these struggles and trials that we're going through now, it's nothing new. Nothing new. Many generations have faced things this bad and worse than this. But he said, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, I pray that I've accomplished what God wanted me to today. He wanted me to promote the church. He wanted me to emphasize how important it is and what a privilege it is to be a part of it. And to remind everybody of the glory that's going to be revealed. And to how that we need to go about our service with humility, esteeming each other greater than ourselves. You know. And, suffering even if necessary. Jesus suffered, and we're no better than he was. And, the Bible teaches us that we should, if somebody mistreats us, just let it go, you know. And if you get an opportunity to do something good for him, you know. So I'd never do a thing like that. Well, you ought to, because that's what Jesus said for us to do. You know, if you jump on him and chew him out, I tell you, it's not going to do any good at all. But if you do something good for him, you may make a friend out of him. And in so doing, Paul said, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. You'll make him ashamed of the way he treated you. That's what it means. See, so I tell you, this thing called love, isn't it something? This thing called brotherly love, isn't it something to love one another with a pure heart fervently? To really love one another? Enough that we'll promote one another help other people to succeed as Christians. I'm talking about from a spiritual standpoint. I pray God will bless the message. I want to say again, I'm in this church and I'm proud to be a part of it. And I want to help it. I want to help it. I want us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want us to put on the whole armor of God. I want us to stand. See, it's not easy to stand. No, it's not easy to stand. But I'll tell you, by the help of the Lord, we can stand. And we can stand. And we can be a witness. And we can promote our church. And we can let the church roll on. You can't make it roll on. But you sure can let it roll on. If we don't hinder it, it'll roll, you know. And so God bless you. That's my message for today. I'm still looking for revival. I'm looking for souls to be saved. I'm looking for the church to grow and to prosper. And I may not be here when that happens. I may be gone, you know. But that's all right. I'm going to a city where the roses never fade. Going to a better place. Going to rest from my labors. And I pray that my works will follow me. What little I've done, I pray that it'll follow me. And I pray when I've been dead 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, you know, I pray that there'll still be people being saved and born again and become a part of this great church. Anybody have anything you want to say? Amen. Yes.
Everybody in here, think about it today. He's going to call your name.
Yes, sir.
You can say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I just want to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. He's going to call my name.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He's going to call y'all too.
Amen.
You've not been ever saved. Now's the time, today, when you'll call your name. You need to be saved today. Anybody's in here that's heard this message and broke around, you don't need to turn this away.
God.
You need to be called when this is
over. Amen. God bless you, Brother Sampson. Amen. Anyone else with a word? Amen.
In the chorus of that song, everybody help me. We'll work
till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. Amen. Anyone else for the word? God. Yes, amen. God bless you, Sister LaCoste. Amen. Amen. God bless you, young man. Amen. Anyone else? All right. Well, we're going to have a closing prayer. And I'm going to say this. In any service, or any time, if you feel like you're lost and you need to get saved, you come to the altar and pray. I didn't put emphasis on seeking the Lord today, but you'll never do anything more important in your life than to seek the Lord. Now, I'm willing to trust the Lord, and I'm willing to trust the message today. I'm willing to trust it. I believe it'll accomplish what the Lord wants accomplished. Now, it may not be what I want or what I expect, but I believe that the Lord will take care of His word and it won't return void. That's what keeps you going, you know. Just preach it and you leave it. You know, you can't make it go any further than the ears of people, as far as you can make it go. But the Holy Spirit can make it go further. And it'll go deeper. And it can accomplish God's purpose. God bless you. I love you all. I love you. There's nothing that I want more than for Fairview Memorial Church to prosper. And to keep rolling. I mean, rolling on. And when Jesus comes, what glory shall be revealed. What glory. All right, anyone else? All right, standing together, we'll be dismissed.